What we have been talking about is profiting from the word of God. How to profit from God's word. It said from verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. Luke chapter 8. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And yet others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And he said, the other seed fell into the good soil. That's the one we all want to be or experience. And these ones grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great, that is, as that which was sown. And as he said these things, he will call out, he who has ears, let him hear. As he's talking, he said, look, decide which one you are. That's what it means when he says, who has ears, let him hear. Now, the interpretation he gave to that parable is what we are actually examining. And he said from verse 11, this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Notice that it is the seed that is bearing fruit. It is not the people, listen to this, that are bearing fruit. It is what? The seed that is the word of God. I told you one of the things I love to talk about the most in life is the issue of the grace of God. All right? And that's to let people understand something. That God's grace, listen, is that his word goes forth and acts upon you. One day a brother walked up to me and said, what does it mean? Somebody preached and said that you have to walk the word of God and make it work for you, you know. He came to me and said that, how do you do that really? And I told him, I said, really, you cannot act upon the word of God. The word of God acts upon you. Are you getting my point? That you don't walk God's word. The word of God walks upon your life. Now, what we try to do a lot of times, of course, which we perfectly understand, is that, we want people to obey the word of God. That is true. But what I try to teach is for Christians to understand that obedience to God's word is a matter of faith. Let me explain what I'm going to explain. That is, you know, I was sharing with some brethren a few days ago, and in fact, the same thing that's inside that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said, one of our brothers used to be around here, and he still keeps in touch with us, all right, from where he is right now. We're talking. I said, the reason why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, is that because sometimes people look, you hear that God spoke to Abraham and said, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. And you wonder that, if it were me, will I be able to do that? You will hear that one day they asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down or they will burn. And they refused to bow down. And then you will wonder that, if it were me, will I be able to do that? Are you getting the point? That all those things come to our hearts and we wonder that, look, what is going on? Are you sure I will be able to do that if I am the one that is being, that's put under that thing? And that's why I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. And what I was explaining it is this. It is not those people that did those things. Please, I want you to understand. It was God working in them that did those things in their lives. And you see, that's how God is. You know, what God wants to do. In fact, I read the story again today. I was reading a book I'd read before, Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. And that book really blessed me. This short bit of it, I was trying to quote, there's a story of him telling in them, and that what happened with Ben Carson is what I'm trying to say. Actually, I've had that experience twice in my life. Two times in my life, I've had this experience that Ben Carson had, and I want you to listen to this. If you have not read that book, go and read it to help you. Gifted Hands. When he entered into, the med school, or pre-med, I think it's a med school, he said he realized that all his life, what he's been doing was that he would play the whole semester. Before the exam, he would crash the reading. And because being a smart fellow, he would always do well. Now, we entered the school, and the best of the best were gathered with him. And he began that same habit. Before they did chemistry exam, in his first year, he realized that things were bad. He didn't know what to do. So, the Holy Spirit used the opportunity to remind him of what his life has been. That is what all he has been doing, all right, is reading at the last moment. Reading to pass and not reading to learn. And I've said that to my students several times. I said, forget about exams. Exams are not important. You know what you need to do? Read to learn. Then the exam will just show whether you learned or you didn't learn. Do you understand my point? Rather than trying to pass, in which case you may not pass, And even if you did pass, you really don't know anything. You just managed to pass. And I know many people, I can start mentioning them, some of them specialists, who managed to pass but didn't learn. One of them walked up to the way he trained when he wanted to go to America. I know it's Americans, they're not too concerned about your certificate. They want to know what you can do. And he realized that I am going to be exposed when I get there. So he went back to go and try and start learning again. I said, this is what you should have done when you had the opportunity. Though he managed to pass, they said, well, you can learn the tricks of passing an exam. Do you understand the point? But that's what the good Lord helped him with at that particular point. So he repented. This is where I'm going to. He repented and said, God, I will never do this again. All my life, I've always wanted to be a doctor. Please, I need to pass this exam. You will help me. He had just a day to go, and he started walking, a day or two. He was walking hard and walking hard. He said, the night before the exam, he fell asleep while studying. Now, this has happened to me twice, something similar to this. More than twice, actually, but two very dramatic experiences. In his sleep, he had a dream. He said, and one shadowy figure entered into it was in class. And one guy just walked in and began to teach. Do you understand? And the fellow would ask questions and he would teach and he would teach and he would teach. And he tried to follow the whole thing. Then, after some time, he woke up and realized it was a dream. But all the questions and answers that the guy taught, he remembered. The ones he couldn't remember, he picked up his book and cross-checked the answers. He walked into the exam the next day, opened the question. It was exactly the same things that man taught him in the dream. He said he knew it was a special manifestation from God. And he promised God, listen to this. When I read it again today, I said, God, this is what we try to teach people. He said, God, I will never put you in this kind of situation again. That is, he didn't go bragging. Now, you know, most of all, I'm going to brag. As if you're a man of faith. What did he do? He said, God, thank you. But I will never put you in this kind of situation again where you have to bail me out with this kind of, you get my point, emergency procedure. He said, of course, he backslid a bit from his dedication, but generally, he improved the rest of his days, all right, in that med school. Now, why I told the story is that he tells me something again. He helps me illustrate this thing. That it is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That God is not looking for a strong man. For me, when I read the book, I said, you see, you know why God helped him? Do you know why God helped him? Because he went to God and said, I have sinned. You know the prodigal son spirit? I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to pass this examination. Are you getting what I say? That's it. The centurion looked at Jesus and said, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Sometimes we need to take a very lowly state, and that's a matter of fact, so that God can help us. A lot of times we are too proud. I've said to you several times, a lot of us, what we think, you say, Pastor Banky, there you go again. Yes, I have to go there again because this is a very serious matter. A lot of us, when we want to pray, what we say is, God, I have given. God, I have paid the tithe. You are owing me. God say, all right, we'll see the court that we set to when I don't give you anything. Carry me to court. Have me arrested. That he will come bragging. I have done everything. Now is the time for my breakthrough. God say, you are the one that decides. Okay, I won't give you the breakthrough. Come and arrest me if you can. Do you follow my point? Let me say it again. What are servants of God supposed to do? No matter how much you have given, do you understand my point? You will go and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you have given me money and you're giving me the heart to give. Do you understand my point? I thank you. The more you give me, the more I will give. Thank you for that opportunity to walk with you in life. Amen. And leave that point. If you have a need, go and say, Father, I have a need. Don't tie the two together. Do you understand what my point? We have to learn to come to God humbly. That's the point I'm making. The man went before the Lord humbly and said, God, if you don't help me, you know I'm a dead man. The Lord said, I know. And you know why you got into the situation of becoming a dead man? You were too unserious. He said, Lord, I will never do that again. I will never put you in a situation, all right, where you will need to help me like this. He didn't even know what God was going to do until God did it. When the results came out, of course, he was amongst the best. That thing has happened to me several times, all right, in life. I remember, in fact, let me quickly give you three. some of you may have heard about two of it before. When I was going to do my final exams in surgery, when I was as a medical student, I remember this one very well. I didn't have a dream, I didn't have a revelation, but this was what happened. There was a lot of crisis in our school, all right? And because of that, you know, those days, the VC just, you know, today they'll shut the school, tomorrow they'll open the school. And this particular day, the school was closed. And the provost of our college said, the school can close, but I'm not closing the medical school. So your postings go on as usual. The dean announced to us that postings go on as usual. Yet we're driven from campus. So we have to be looking for where to stay here and there. Well, I wasn't comfortable, all right? I couldn't find a comfortable place to stay. So after a while, I just got up and went home. That school is closed, I'm going home. Meanwhile, this was my final year. I was supposed to be doing my surgery postings, and school was closed, but they said postings continue despite the closure of the school. Better set yourself out. I tried. I wasn't being lazy. I tried, and I couldn't. So I had to go home. When school opened, I came back to school, went back into the hostels, all right? And then, but except that by that time, I had less than 4 weeks to the main exam. I had missed about 4 weeks of posting. I had just maybe about 3 weeks ago to go. Because, of course, they didn't apply all the rules of all the sign-up because of all the crisis. I still had to take the exam. And to make it worse, something happened. Most of our lecturers were very busy doing some things. I don't know what was going on that time. So a lot of our teaching was done by senior registrars. And the unit I was in, I disliked the guy who was our senior registrar. I'll come for word round. I'll look at my friend. Oh boy, look at who's teaching. Let us go. Oh, just walk away. And there was a reason. I don't have time to give you all the details. There was a reason why we didn't like the man. We felt like, what does he know to teach anybody? Is he a serious person himself? We just go away. Cut a long story short, the day the exam came, we were not very well prepared. I wasn't. I tried my best. I tried to read. The main issue was going to be the clinical work, not the written work. That's the one that was going to be a problem for me. And I remember that night, I read. And I decided to go and visit. I remember one of my friends, she and her husband in Asaba now, also a medical student, but junior to us. I just strolled down to Anne's room. In fact, I met another of my friends there, sitting there, bed, all of them looking for encouragement. So together we sat down there, we just a small, we chatted. After a while, I got up and left. Instead of going back to class, it was night now. So I remember I climbed up to the top of block A. Either block A or block B, hall 3. School was essentially quiet. So we're just medical students around now. And I stood there and I prayed. I said, God, please help. And I asked him a simple request. I said, you know, we have this difficult professor, Professor Ofuegbu. I said, God, please, I don't want to meet him in the exam or he will fail me. As soon as I finished saying it, I said, no, I'm very sorry, Lord. I don't care who I meet, I want to pass. Then I said, all right, I don't want a case of hernia. Because hernias are considered very simple. That if you make any blunder, you must be an idiot. Do you understand my point? So I wanted a difficult case so that if you make blunders, after all, you're just a medical student. They're just graduating your first degree. You can't know too much. So I said, Lord, please, make sure I don't get a hernia tomorrow in the clinical exam. Then immediately I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. Hernia or no hernia, I want to pass the exam. This is a manifestation. Next day I went for the exam. My patient, hernia, my examiner, Professor Ofuegbu. Do you understand what I'm saying? God just packaged the two of them and gave them to me. As soon as I saw them, I said, all right now, God, I know you answered that. You were there yesterday when I was praying. This couldn't have been a coincidence. Let me summarize it for you. By the time the exam was through, the only comment he had to pass was, that's my boy. Very good boy. That's my boy. I'm serious. When I left, I remember I was shaking my head. One of my classmates, a sister also, Cynthia, I remember she was waiting for maybe her own exam as I walked by. So the other was shaking my head. He said, Banky, how did it go? You know, I couldn't answer. I was just shaking my head. Like, God, you're too much. Do you understand my point? The other experience I had, I mean, different ones. I don't have time to give you all the details. One, I was going to walk into an exam, and we're supposed to answer 5 questions, and I read 4. The last 4 topics I read before walking in was 4 out of 5. They gave us 3 hours of was biochemistry. I spent 2 hours 15 minutes. And this was the subject I disliked the most amongst my 3 third MBA, second MBA exams. Anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. I disliked biochemistry. But then, I still remember very well. A few days before that, I told the Lord that, Lord, you know, you can't leave one. You got to know everything. I need help because I just didn't like this subject. I wasn't being lazy. I just didn't like reading it. Do you understand my point? And I remember that day, I told the Lord, I will stop saying that biochemistry is volatile. That was my problem. I felt that you cram all these equations, after tomorrow, all the formula, you forget them again. So I said, I will stop saying that this course is volatile. What I'm just going to do is I'm going to study, I'm going to divide the time equally, because I just refuse to read it. I'll read anatomy, read physiology, but chemistry now, I refuse to read it. It's not interesting. So I said, Lord, I will start reading it regularly, and I will stop saying it is volatile. And this was what happened. As soon as I made that dedication, I went to class, sat down beside my classmate and friend, Oluwakayode. Oluwakayode said, man, this biochemistry now, wow, the course is so volatile. That was what he used to welcome me to class that evening. And I looked at him, I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I repeated it again, I said, biochemistry is not volatile. Then I said it a third time, biochemistry is not volatile. Like, be careful, oh. The guy wondered, I said, what is going on? What's all of this shouting on me because I made a comment? Now, that was the subject that when I was going for the exam, 5 questions. But now we had 8 questions. Take any 5 you like. I read 4 before I walked in. 4. I just went in there. All the equations, all the formula were just standing in my head. They were just standing. Put everything down. 45 minutes to go, I said, something must be wrong. I started all over again to be sure. But that was like 25, 30 minutes to go. I just got up, dropped the paper, and walked out of the hall. That was how the Lord gave me the breakthrough. My postgraduate exam, that one I walked in, I dreamed like Ben Carson. That somebody sent me a question paper, and I read out question number 1. I couldn't see the rest. I walked into the exam next day, 3 days or so. That was what happened. The same way played out in the dream. Looked at question number 1. It was what I dreamt of. And I told my friends. So the guy sitting beside me, the guy looked at me, Taufik, he's a Muslim. He looked at me like, what? After that, I got a name, Joseph. Joseph, who went to the department, said, Joseph has come. The next exam I went for, and he came and said, Joseph, any dream, anything for us? You're getting the point I'm making. I'm just, why did I even tell all these stories? See, God is alive, all right? He is. You see, mistake a lot of people make is that you can't go to God and demand such manifestations. I like the way Ben Carson said it. He said he went to God after the manifestation and said, Lord, thank you very much. Let me make a promise. I will never put you under that kind of situation again where you have to build me out last moment. If those of us who don't have sound teaching, we don't have the correct principle of God in our hearts, you know what we think? That this is a great man of faith. Check out the manifestation in his heart. No, it was a humble man who came to God. Do you get the point I'm making? It was in his humility he came to God and God solved the problem for him. Please follow what I'm saying there closely. So because we're reading this, there is the word that acts. And God takes his glory completely and doesn't share with anybody else. The reason is because he's the one acting in your life. Do you understand my point? I told those stories to let you know that when people go to God humbly, do you understand my point? With sincerity, the word of God. Look, listen, that guy was a smart guy. But God showed to him that, look, if I don't help you, you would not be helped in life. Do you follow the point I'm making? God showed to him that I'm still the God that works in your life. God, look, read that book if you haven't read it before. You will see that this man, renowned neurosurgeon, but he said one of the things he always used to tell because he operates mostly on children. What he would tell the parents of the children before he goes in for surgery, or the last time he's seen them before the day of surgery, he said, one last thing, do you know how to pray? I think you should pray. He said, I don't say it for any other reason than the fact that I believe seriously that those prayers do have an effect on what I do. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, so I'm bringing all of these things to bring out the issue that God's word works. Are you getting my point? And I said something last time, let me say it again. It is not possible. I need to say this clearly. It is not possible. Let me say it one more time. It will never happen that you will walk with God. I didn't say run or jump or jerk. I mean what? Walk persistently and continually in truth with God in life, and it will fail you. David said, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg bread. Look, you see, the pressure in my heart these days is to get people to understand that what they need to do is to walk with God. What we have been doing a lot of times is that we like to pray. I don't know whether you can hear what I say. We like for somebody to lay hands on us and turn our situation around. And people advertise it. Come for your emergency breakthrough. After tonight's anointing, your life will never be the same again. I make bold to say it. 99 out of 100 of those people, nothing changes in their lives. Nothing. Because what changes the lives of people is that constant walk with God. Do you get my point? Let me tell you clearly. It is not possible. It is not possible that you will walk with God continually. I don't care the number of people that don't like you. I don't care the amount of curses that was upon all the descendants of your grandfather. I don't know whether you get what I want to say. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Men who don't succeed because somebody cursed them are not Christians. Do you get my point? Listen, people who fail because somebody is against them and somebody is praying against them and somebody is making sacrifices against them, those who fail for that reason are not believers. I don't care. Maybe they go to church, but they are not Christians. Because there is no enchantment against Jacob. You don't get what I'm going to explain. Nobody, I say it boldly, anybody who wants to try it, who's a witch, let him go home and try. In the name of Jesus, he won't live for 12 hours after that. He can't. Because the power that is working on my side, it kills people. You know, only mercy it shows. I don't know why Christians go and I'm believing that there's somebody's worrying me. Nobody can worry me. Nobody can worry me. Nobody. Nobody can worry me. Anybody who thinks he has the power to worry me, let him go. I say it on air. Why have they not tried it? Because indeed they can't. Nobody can worry me. I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't know what's wrong with Christians. Are they crazy? The problem is that they don't have sound teaching. They don't have sound teaching. That's their problem. Let me tell you something about Christianity. We don't get the point. God, listen. The first time Lexus was released, how many of you know Lexus? Toyota decided to enter into America and compete with them Cadillacs, BMWs, Mercedes-Benz for the American market. The high-end cars, they were tired of selling only small cars. So they released the LS400. And the ES300, those were the only two cars they released at the first two Lexuses, the big LS400 and the small ES300. When I read the time they released it, this is what I want to say. They gave the number of engineers, the number of man hours that worked. They worked for like 11 years. It was not overnight. They plotted for that vehicle for about 11 years. They said, imagine that about 10,000 engineers, this number of designers, they gave all kinds of figures that they worked for 10 years. At the end of the day, they came out with only two cars. What do you think the cars would be like? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That was how they introduced the LS400. That Toyota was telling you, listen guys, we came out prepared. I mean, they tested the LS400, fill wine glasses, all right, to the brim with champagne and start the car, and the thing doesn't spill. I remember they designed the engine so much that without a muffler, the engine doesn't make noise. They now put the normal silencing system there. The car was hyper quiet. And they introduced it at less than $40,000. That is, you had no reason not to buy a Lexus. Because men planned for 10 years. Now, let me tell you why I've told you all of that. In the beginning, God looked and prophesied to Satan and to Eve. He said, the seed of this woman will bruise your head. Are you getting my point? The next 4,000 years, God brought out a whole nation so that he might bring out one person, Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, he brought out that Jesus Christ and said, this is the Lamb of God that solves all the problems of the world. And you are telling me he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Toyota can make Lexus after 10 years of planning. And the good Lord planned for centuries. In fact, he said, this is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Listen to me. That blood is powerful. Do you understand my point? Let me tell you something. What God did in Christ Jesus is so radical, do you follow, that men can't comprehend it. So bad, in quotes, you know what I will say bad now, is it that for Paul to explain it was difficult. I read a book, Set Free to Say, Stay Free. It said, if you have not yet confused the gospel of Christ, all right, with lawlessness, you don't understand it yet. No, I'm bringing out something. That when God wanted to, listen, you know, I'm a Nigerian, I'm a black man. If you don't believe it, this, my skin is not painted. This is the way God made it. I'm a real black man. Not only am I from the black race, I'm black. Yeah, you get my point? So there are problems, black man problem, they concern me. And I can tell you for sure, black man been get problem. He been get problem. He indeed, he had witches, and he still has wizards. They packed all the evil that they know how to do and put in a nation called Haiti. Haiti is still the poorest nation on the earth today. Why? Because of all the devils that black men know how to serve, they concentrated in a small place. They called it Haiti. Are you getting my point? Therefore, poverty is there. Disease is there. They appointed the Reverend Father president. The man turned out to be an evil man. It was not his fault. While he was serving sacrament in church, all things were equal. When he entered into government office, all the evil spirits came after him. Black man being get problem is not a joke. Are you getting my point? But what am I saying? This is what I am saying. That the solution to the problem of that black man. Do you follow my point? The solution, when Paul wanted to describe it, he said this is the mystery that was hidden from ages past. Peter said these are the things that angels wanted to look into. I don't know whether you get my point. That the prophets who prophesied about them, they said, what are we talking about? The angels said, relax, it's not for your time. The Spirit of Christ in them says, it's not for your time. What am I saying? The solution to all those problems. If Haiti indeed believes in God, listen, in a few years, you won't know the difference between Haiti and America. What am I saying? The solution to all the problems of life is called Christ Jesus. Listen, my experience in the last few years of teaching the gospel and observing things in life is this. I have discovered that the reason why we don't experience the power of God is because we actually don't believe it. Listen, we actually don't believe the gospel. We go to church, I know, we don't believe the gospel. I know we pray, but truth is that we don't believe the gospel. I told you there was if I mention the name of the church in this town, all of you will shout. The prayer group was invited to a house because a man who was bereaved was their member and his wife died. And they all helped him during the funeral. So he invited them, being a well-to-do man, to his house for dinner to say thank you for all your effort. And they all refused to go. That the witch he used to kill his wife is still there. They don't want to die. And this was a prayer group of one of the biggest Pentecostal churches in this town. The prayer group. And you think those guys believe the gospel? They don't. They don't. Yet every week they are in church. Hey, galabolo, galadudu. Hey, go, 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 go. Hey, Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Musubushi. He said they are speaking in tongues. That are nonsense. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. A friend of mine who really believes the gospel, one day went to visit one of his uncles. He laughed. He told me, he said, his mother said, don't go there. Don't get there. Those are the people who killed your father those days. Because his father was late, died many years ago. He said, no, Allah. When they sat down, they served him food. He ate it. He was full, rubbed his stomach, thanked everybody very well and left. Because indeed he believes the gospel. You can kill my father. Believe me, most likely they didn't kill anybody. Do you understand my point? You know what? Africans, we like to blame people for everything. Do you understand my point? I'm not saying people don't kill people, but most of the time it's a lie. When they can't find a cause, you have to blame somebody. Just have to blame somebody. Just have to blame somebody. One day I did an autopsy on a child who died from typhoid fever. Three girls were in police custody. Because after the girl died, the father went and said, three girls, because they were students in a school. So they fought her 6 weeks before. Do you hear what I said? 6 weeks before that they fought her, the girl died 6 weeks after. I was very irritated. I dragged the man into the autopsy room. Come on, look. That's what they call typhoid fever. I was very angry with him. I know he was bereaved, but I'd say I wanted him to see sense. What's wrong with you? This girl was sick for days. If I was angry with the police, all you needed to do was walk to Mother on Christ and read the case file. And you will see that there's no assault or anything. This girl was just sick.
I said, but it's a typical African mentality. You want to blame somebody. But this is the point I'm making. In that particular situation, my friend said, I don't give a damn. He sat down there. Now, some of these things, I tell you that some of these gospels, I'll be embarrassed to hear a message like this in a country like America or somewhere in Europe. Because I wonder, they'll be looking at me like, look at what this man talking about. This, do you understand my point? We are too preoccupied with silly things. One girl came to visit a boy on campus. And she brought food. Of course, she had her intention. She liked the guy. She wanted to warm herself into his heart back. They used to know those days. Of course, typical African people. All of them refused to eat the food. And some brethren who believed the gospel, listen, who believed the gospel, they walked up there. They said, what's all this food lying down around? And they told the story that, forget me not, they inside. If you chop them, you'll be in love. Do you understand my point? When he finished hearing the story, he says, that all? They said, yes. The guy dragged the seat, sat down. He said, Father, I thank you. Wonderful provider thou art. The guy began, he tried to eat with 3 mouths. Unfortunately, he had only one. Took the banana, ate it. Took the rice, chopped it. Meat, put it down. We're just eating everything. Other people looked and said, man, this guy's enjoying something we are not enjoying. They quickly joined him, knowing that the forget-me-not will have entered his body. When he came to our room to tell the story, his friend who were living together said, why didn't you call me? Because indeed they believed the gospel. I read an account in Full Gospel Businessman's Voice once. A man who listened. He was a witch doctor. This is not African superstition. He was indeed a witch doctor. And he knew how to run people crazy. Then he had conflicts with other witch doctors. Maybe people more powerful than him. And one day, he entered his house. He came out in the morning and saw a black cock and some eggs at his doorstep. And he said he knew what that meant, that he was about to go crazy. Maybe a man more powerful than him had made up his mind that I will run this guy mental. Do you know what happened? He ran away from home out of fear. In that race, he met Christ Jesus and came back home one day. And they heard he was back, so they came to do the sacrifice again. Unfortunately for them, this time around, the guy had believed the gospel. And as God wanted to set him up, God ensured that he was broke. He did not have food to eat. He came out in the morning and saw cock and saw eggs and said, wonderful God, what great a provider you are again. The guy took the cock, slaughtered it, made himself a nice chicken soup that morning. Ate the chicken, fried the egg, and rubbed his stomach and was there to tell the story. That's how come I read it. Those are people who believe the gospel. They are those who claim they believe the gospel. They go to church regularly. They don't go to their villages. You know that? They don't dare go. They are afraid. They are afraid. Afraid that the witches in the village will do something to them. And they go to church. Oh, powerful titers, heavy givers, prayer warriors. They are everything except that they can't go home. If you are a person like that, hear me clearly. You don't believe anything. That's why I wrote that book, He That Believes. That you cannot claim to be a Christian and there's not something you believe that's affecting your life that we can notice. You talk like everybody else. You run up and down like everybody else. When you hear that dollar has gone, you too begin to cry, what's going to happen to us in this country? When you hear that the price of crude went down, hey, Nigeria won't have a reserve again. Now the price of crude is going up. You say, hey, fuel will become expensive. Which one is your own? You don't believe anything. You don't believe anything. That's the point I'm making. You don't believe anything. And you call yourself a Christian. What am I saying? I found out Paul said, I want to come to Rome to preach the gospel to you. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen to what this. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you something. The fact is that most people these days, I testify concerning my brethren in Nigeria, don't believe the gospel. They don't. They only go to church. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. They don't believe anything. Do you get my point? What am I trying to explain? If indeed we believe the gospel, listen, it produces power. It produces works. We will find the release of God's power in our lives. That's what I'm talking about. Profiting from the word of God. Listen, 10 years it took a few hundreds of men, a few thousands of men to make 2 cars, and they were so proud of it. I remember the advert of the next Lexus, the next generation they released after the first set, the GS300. I remember the advert very well. He said, drive to work. Then describe a perfectly bad day. have sick meeting, drink bad coffee, argue with your secretary, lost documents, then drive back home. He said, not a bad day. That is, no matter how terrible your day is, just drive our car to work and back. You will find out that you had a good day. That's what men made. Yet God took time out for generations to prepare a solution to man's problem. And you are telling me that there must be something about it. That America is still better than Nigeria. That Europe is still better than Nigeria. And then I said, it is only like that when we have not believed the solution that God brought to poverty. Are you getting my point? When Jesus was released, you know what he said? The Spirit of God is upon me. He spoke and spoke and said, I have come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what he meant? The year of Jubilee, in which every problem was written off. Listen, we will experience God's power. The problem is that we have not believed the gospel. Once in a while, I sit down and say, Banky, what exactly is it that you are doing? After meditating, I said, this is my job. Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Are you getting my point? Listen, if the word of God is constantly declared to the people of God, and the people of God believe that word with a whole heart, listen, I said, God, he may not give you a result overnight. That's why I'm discussing about this. If you're not here from the beginning, go and hear the first day. I said, those who received the word with joy, he said, those were those who sprang up quickly, but there was no depth inside them. Therefore, when persecution came as a result of the word, they withered. Therefore, they bore no fruit. Is it because the word did not have power? No! It was because it did not sink into their hearts before they started trying to act upon it. Do you get my point? Somebody comes and whips up sentiment and you perform every act. One man, one day, this is interesting. I don't know why I'm really talking about this money matter. Somebody came, preached a very powerful gospel to him. Said, if you want to receive the glory of God, you will give a dangerous offering. So he gave a very dangerous offering. A card that in today's valuation will value it at almost 20 million naira. Just went to the forefront and dropped the keys. Believe me, is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. I think if you can give up a cow of 20 million naira for the gospel, it's a powerful thing. But if you are doing it because you want God to do something strange in your life, you are a crazy fellow. If you want to bribe God, forget it. Forget it. If you have not developed in your soul to where you can do godliness with contentment, then say, God, take this car. I don't want it anymore. I think it can bless somebody else. Let me sell it and use it to preach the gospel. If you can do it with what? Contentment. Not as if a trick to get something out of God. They say you will see the glory of God. A few months or years later, he called one of my friends and said, please excuse me. What does it really mean to see the glory of God? My friend came to ask me. I said, tell him to go and ask the man who preached the gospel to him. Why is he coming to ask me now? Why is he asking you? Are you the one that preached it? Are you the one that preached it? Because he said, do something dangerous and you see something dangerous. My friend, get away. You want to see dangerous things, walk with God constantly and persistently. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Walk with God constantly and persistently. I was teaching yesterday, we were discussing, three of us, two days ago. And the same thing I have taught you before, concerning this matter of seed, is the same thing I have said again and again, that when people bear fruit, it's with perseverance. Are you getting what I'm saying? That money is not a seed. Oh God, get my point. Physical things don't apply spiritual laws. Now, listen to me. If you want to sow corn, what do? You put it in the earth, you put water upon it. Are you getting me? And then you wait for sun to shine upon it and fruit comes into your life. Do you follow that? Now, if you want to sow money as a seed, you put it into business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Go and buy shares. Fix deposit. Do whatever you want to do. Say, Pastor Bank, what are you saying? I am saying the seed of the spirit is spiritual. Therefore, I can show kindness. That's a spiritual seed. Do you understand my point? What is kindness? I can give money and it will be an act of kindness. I don't know whether you are following me. I will give money and it's what? An act of kindness. It is not the money that is the seed. It is what? The act of kindness. The kindness. Love is a spiritual seed. Get the point I'm making. Forgiveness is a spiritual seed. Patience is a spiritual seed. Perseverance is a spiritual seed. Godliness is a spiritual seed. There are times you will make a choice. Listen to me. They will say, just do small on godliness. You get a lot of money. Alright? If you don't do it, you won't get anything. And you will not do it because of the love of righteousness. And you won't get anything. That godliness is what? A spiritual seed. Do you follow my point? Therefore, you can't give naira to get naira. Because there's not a spiritual seed. The only place you give naira to get naira is in the stock market. It's in buying and selling. Spiritually, you give naira as an act of kindness, as an act of love, as an act of mercy. And when God wants to pay you back, he pays you the same thing. He that shows mercy, we obtain what? Mercy. Your own mercy showing me have been the giving of money, and God might deliver your only child as payment. He didn't give you money. He showed you mercy. He showed you mercy. Do you follow the point I'm making?